Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Vav. We're holding right at the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beit, the last line. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Rabbi Yonatan. Remember that we're in the middle of discovering the inyan of to be moche. One who isn't moche is considered to be tafus in the same oven. And because of that, we went back to discover Shor Shei Avon, the foundational sense of where Avon comes from, that once you're on this darga of the responsibility for the world, obviously it has to go back to its shoresh, because there's no sense of responsibility of the world when a person is not connected to shoresh. He only lives his own life. And in living your own life, even the relationships that you have are just expressions of yourself and external manifestations of the way your consciousness relates to other things. And therefore, there's no real outside responsibility. It's all personal. So therefore, what we want to trace back is the chiyuv of Shabbos that demands the chibur and Maaseh Bereishis and the integration of Maaseh Bereishis in terms of your responsibilities demands of you the understanding and the recognition of how profoundly connected you are, which means that you have to go back to the Shoresh. And once you go back to the Shoresh, you're also going back to your own psychological roots and discovering what the things that you thought were actually coming from. And because of that, we're tracing things that appear to be okay on the surface to us and that the Torah considers to be absolutely horrific. And the reason that they're horrific is because these individuals were shayach to be able to go back to the Yesod. I just want to point out to you that the Getter of Din, which this whole thing came from, Midas HaDin, the Getter of Din, as we can see from Hora'ah, is that every Hora'ah goes back to the beginning. It has to, because for the same exact reason. So it's because of that that we consider the Beit Horati to be the aspect of Mishkan. I'm going back to the place where I was conceived. And obviously, the ultimate place where I was conceived was Gan Eden itself, where the original understanding, Gevayachal, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans, so to speak, and his tikva, in the Briyas HaAdam, is where you've got to get back to in order to be able to understand the Adam. Anything that you understand about yourself in a local sense is complete nonsense, because it's all built around the churning windmills of your own mind. So you'll never be able to see beyond them. And in that case, we're going to see over here some amazing things today of continuation of the contrast between what the person thinks he was doing and what he was actually doing because of this simple slip-up of not being aware of where things have to go back to and looking at where things are. And this is the amazing next piece, which is the story of the B'nai Shmuel. So over here, Rabbi Yonatan was pointing out that anybody who says that B'nai Shmuel chat'u, meaning chat'u in what it says, is making a big mistake. Elotoe. What is the pasuk? So in the pasuk it says like this. Vayi kasher zaken Shmuel, vayasem et banav shoftim liYisrael, v'lo hochu vanav bidrachav, vayitu acharei habatza, vayikhu shochad, vayatu mishpat. I mean, it sounds like an absolute disaster. They didn't follow the paths of Shmuel, and instead they searched for money, and they took shochad, and they ended up ruining the din of the mishpat. They perverted mishpat. I mean, it sounds like they're absolutely horrific. Read the pasuk carefully, points out Rabbi Yonatan, and you'll see that the pasuk is telling you the exact opposite. Because look what it says. It says, oh, this is absurd. Lo alchu banav bidrachav. His children did not follow his ways. The children did not follow his ways. They did the exact opposite of his ways. What do you mean they didn't follow his ways? They were absolute monsters to destroy everything that Shmuel had built, right? So you can't say that, well, they didn't follow his pathways. That isn't the point. So you see that the pasuk is saying that b'drachav lo halchu, but mich ben ami lo chatu, they didn't do any of the stuff that it says over there. Ah, so then why does it say it? Because ma'ani mikayem vayitu acharei habatza, shalo asu kemaaseh avihem. The very fact that they didn't follow Shmuel around in his ways is exactly what the pasuk points out is the equivalent in total of being yatu acharei habatza. Why? Because if you analyze Shmuel, Shmuel at Tzaddik, Ayam Mechazer Bechol Mekomot Yisrael, V'dan Otam Ba'arehem. What does it say about Shmuel? V'alach Midei Shana B'Shana, V'Savav Beit El, V'Agilgal, V'Hamitzpah, V'Shafat Et Yisrael, Et Kol Mekomot Ha'ela. Now, this was a major development. Remember that the whole beginning of the Knisa La'aretz throughout Shoftim, the Pasuk stresses again and again the local way that people related to things. They did not get together to be Orish Eretz Yisrael. There was no Aliyah L'Regel that was coming from all over. And there was a sense of everyone being done in their place and not taking responsibility. On the contrary, it was Ish Tachat Gafno V'Tachat Te'inato, and nobody took responsibility for anything, which is exactly the issue that we're talking about over here. Al Shem Shalom Michu. The first time that we find something changing is Shmuel's parents. Shmuel's parents were the ones who started going all over the place. And the Gemara is medayik that every year, b'shana l'shana, every year they took a different road to be able to go up to make Aliyah L'Regel because they wanted people to say, what the heck are you doing here? And then they would start explaining the tremendous chiyuv. And suddenly, gradually, people started developing a sense of the centrality of the Mishkan. And their child was the one that established what is today called, because of Shmuel, circuit courts. Circuit courts mean courts that go mimakam lamakam in circles. And that is all literally from Shmuel. And the circuit court is a yesod gadol in all of the nations, that there's such a concept. You have to be able to bring, in order to have a country that's functional, you have to be able to bring din everywhere, which of course is the whole Parsha of Shoftim v'Shotrim, is the centrality of din everywhere. Shmuel did that. What happens after that takes place? What happens always is institutionalism. So people believe that by creating greater and greater institutions, they're only building on the circuit court and the things that happened originally to make things work. And they don't realize that ultimately the cumbersome sense of how important it is to have something that makes such an impression that you've got thousands of people working for, and you've got clerks, and you've got computers, and you've got a presence on Facebook, and so on. Wow, that's going to be real mishpat. This is what happens all the time. So because of the fact that what they did, why does it say vayito achrei abatza, is because what they wanted to do, heim lo asuke. Ela yashvu barehem. Why did they, this is the insane Gemara, unless you understand what it's saying. They were yoshev barehem in order, kedei laharbot sachar lechazanehem velesofrehem, in order that they should be able to have a massive staff that was making tons of money, that were putting out all types of documents, as Rashi says. So you needed to have the shtore birurim, you know, who was Becher, which Dayan, and they needed to have the shtores in which they sent out a court assessor to decide how much money it was worth, and then the advertising department that puts the ads for the auctions of the property. I mean, it was amazing, amazing. So they're sitting back thinking, wow, I mean, can you imagine how much things have grown from the time that daddy was walking from place to place with his trailer and so on? This is incredible. Not realizing that it's exactly the opposite of incredible. Because what happens is that in the end, you end up being interested in the institution. So what can you get out of it? That itself is a perversion of justice. And this is the horrible issues that go on today until a court hears your case, and the inui hadin, and the inability to get anything done, and the bureaucracy. I mean, people hate the court system because of this. So therefore, they themselves ended up in ways that would be also ultimately mata mishpat. Now, the truth is that there are simpler explanations. Fine. So what is the explanation, not of where it came from, but what it led to? Kitanoi. So what is the meaning of Vayitu Achrei Habatsa? Because this is, how exactly did that take place? What was the Vayitu Achrei Habatsa? So we find a machlokas over there. Rabbi Meir says it means that they actually asked for their chelek of, they were Levians, so they had a right to Meiser. They asked for the Meiser. But the problem is, who's going to deny them? I mean, these are the, Godel Ador comes and asks you, so you give it to him. But Lamaisa, they don't have a right to ask. It says, V'natan. that the Baal has to decide who he wants to give it to. In doing that, they were mafsid other Levim who otherwise would have gotten, and now they're only getting the money to the rich people. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Malai Tilo Al Baalei Batim. What they did is they sent out things to sell. So basically, they were jobbers, right? So they wouldn't do the work. They would give people things to sell for them, and then they would take some of the profits. But what happened is that led them to be involved in thousands of court cases that they shouldn't have been involved in, because they had these hundreds of people, different deals that were brought to court, and they had an interest in. And even though maybe it was a very small interest and so on, they should have possibly themselves from judging any of those cases. And a judge cannot afford to be involved all over the place and then still remain a judge. So these are today, also you're mechuyev to tell people, even if you're putting out an ad or you're putting out a recommendation, you're mechuyev to tell people that, you know, I hold stock in this company or whatever, even though it's a tiny thing, that's not enough to be mata achrei abatza. But that's the whole point that the Torah says. Anything at all is vayata achrei abatza. Rabbi Akiva omer kupa yetera shel maaser notlu bizroa. They actually took more meiser than they had a right to, which means more than asirit, and that's mamish gezel. Rabbi Yosef omer matanot notlu bizroa. They took the matanot. The stup shatim ovi rashi, matanot could mean the zroa l'chayayim v'keva that weren't supposed to go to Levim, supposed to go to Kohanim. Or matanot notlu bizroa means that they took without even asking. They took their chalokim, their matanot, meaning meiser. Omer Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonatan. Getting back to the questions of what the Torah says about a person and what it really means in terms of the underlying roots of the issue, is that Kol Omer David Chata Eino El HaToeh. The same thing is everybody says, David HaMelech went ahead and he took this guy's wife, Uriachiti's wife, and he's an adulterer and all the horrible things that they said about it. And so it's insane to say that, because if the Pasuk says, Vayi David L'chol Darko Maskil V'Hashem Imo, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with David at all times, how could it possibly be that this Chet Bala Yado V'Shechina Imo? No, it's absurd. So then, why is it that Nosan Anovi tells David, Madua Bazita Dvar Hashem Nasota Rabbeinai? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how could you have done this? Means note that it says Lasot. How could you even have thought to do this? Lasot Rabbeinai. And then it goes on to say, which we'll ask in a moment, Et Uriah Achiti Ikita Becherev, Vetishto Lakachto Lecha Leisha. Now listen carefully to the pasuk and you will see how it makes absolutely no sense. Because when Hashem says, Lasot hara be'inai, so, I mean, what is the issue over here? If the issue is Eishes Ish, so then, my God, I mean, say Eishes Ish, right? Instead, what it says is that you killed Uriah Achiti and took his wife. I mean, what do you mean you killed Uriah Achiti and took his wife? Somebody told me, a psychologist told me, like he's like always in this pile. When a woman tells him, you know, it's not bad enough that my husband sleeps around. He lies to me about it. I says, obviously, he lies to you about it. So what are you saying over here? You killed Uriah Achiti today, and you took his wife to boot. Like, what's the whole thing is very strange. But then the end of the pasuk is totally crazy, because you already said at Uriah Achiti hikita becherev, you killed him with the sword, and then you repeat at the end voto harakta becherev bnei Amon, that you had him killed by somebody else, not hikita becherev. So then that means that the analysis of the original part of the pasuk that says at Uriah Achiti hikita becherev is to say hikita becherev in order to be v'lakachta tishto. It's not that I'm upset that lakachta tishto. It's that the way that you did things v'lakachta tishto is outrageous to me. But not that you killed him, because at the end of the pasuk it says, you didn't kill him, the Becherev bnei Amon killed him. You put him at the place where he would be killed. So how do we explain the pasuk? Therefore, it must mean like this. That lasot, the very fact that you thought about such a thing, but not that you did anything wrong. Rav says, take a look at Rebbe. Rebbe comes from David. So because of that, Rebbe was derish these psukim very carefully to show the schus for David, right? So Rebbe, dati b'David, ma'apek v'dorish v'schus for David. Madua bazida dvar Hashem la sotara. says Rebbe, look through the entire Sefer Melachim, okay? All through Melachim you find, X, Asah Ra B'nei Hashem. Y, Asah Hashem Ra B'nei Hashem. Z, Asah Ra B'nei Hashem. And over here you finally have a Navi that's smacking a guy across the face, and he says, La Sot Ra B'nei Hashem. What do you think? That's not significant? So one is referring to something that was done, and one was referring to the thought of doing. La Sot Ra. Next. Eturia Achiti Kita Bacherev. I understand. And if I would have shot him with a gun, it would have been better. I mean, who cares? Ikita Bacherev. It should just say, you killed Uriah Achiti. You got him with the sword. What's the point? That's the whole point. You should have killed Uriah Achiti. However, you should have had it done in court. So the Rishonim point out, there is no chiyuv to do it in court. But Rambam Paskas is no chiyuv doing it in court. If a melech holds that somebody was married by Malchus, he can have him killed. So Tosfos says that, well, it means you need to at least look at the raya's in court. You don't need to kill him in court, but you need to make sure that the edus was a good... But over here, you don't need edus. The Tosfos doesn't make much sense, and the Rambam also doesn't paskin that you need to go through courts at all. So therefore, the pshat seems to be that under the circumstances where you know darn well what people are going to be saying, you should have had it done objectively, not that people could say that you had no reason to kill this guy. That's the point, and we'll see how that works. So you should have gone to Sanhedrin, and you didn't. That's the problem. Not that you killed him, but how you killed him. Now note that the very word lakachta lecha means, by definition, that she was not an Eish HaZish. Because the word ki ikach ish isha is the way to say kedushin, right? So you say lakach talach, it means that you had kedushin. So it means that obviously she was not an eshet ish. So my father Zatzal always points out, the story itself is so incredible. Because it says David HaMelech was up on his roof, and all of a sudden he sees this gorgeous girl, which means that she was taking a shower, and she was mitaheret mitumata. She was just coming back from the mikveh. And a nace happened that the shower collapsed, and all of a sudden he gets a view of this girl, right? So he recognizes that it says over there, v'hi mitaheret mitumata. She's coming back from the mikveh. So she wasn't a nida. So he's happy. She's not a nida. This is nuts. What do you mean she's not a nida? She's an eish hashish. So, what does it even mean to say, well, at least she went to the mikveh? That's awful. So clearly the whole point is, an eish hashish there never was a shaila on, which we'll see why. So definitely she wasn't an eish hashish. The only question was, maybe she was tameya. So how could he send a message to her to come on over? No. He's up on his roof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes this thing happen. So now he knows that she is tahira. Okay, so not only that, but we know that Ruuya is a Batsheva LeDavid, because she's made Bereshis. That's why she's called Batsheva, Al-Shem the Malchus. Obviously, if this whole thing had been the scandal that everybody was claiming, he never would have taken her back and had the Melech that was Shlomo and Malchus Mashiach from the very woman that was his downfall. And since the whole story is nutty. So anybody who thinks about the story obviously understands that it could not be that she was an Eish HaZish. And we have to figure out why. So the whole thing that was wrong was appearances, essentially. And what was the appearances? You should have been Dan B'Sanhedrin, and you didn't. You had Lakicha in her. Why? Because Om Rav Shmuel Ben Achmini Amar Rabbi Yonatan Kol Hayotzi L'Mechemet Beit David Kotev Get Kritut Li'Ishto. Anybody that ever went out to fight in one of the wars that David HaMelech had initiated, he always was responsible to write a get before going into the war, because they were afraid that the soldier would go missing and nobody would be able to be made, that he was murdered. And because of that, they would have terrible problems of agunot. So they always had a get. Rashi says the get was a get al tnai. And the tnai was that if I end up disappearing or getting killed in the war, then you are megureshet from now, me'ata. So that the get was chal before, retroactively. Tosfos learns that it wasn't al-tanai in order to avoid issues of what the status is between the conditions, kiyun, and the giving of the get. So Tosfos doesn't like that pshat. He says it wasn't al-tanai. It was a 100% get that was given. Now, what's more, the fact that that was done, David HaMelech noted, was something that he had learned from his own father when he was a kid, which is an amazing story. Because where did he get it from? Shenemar, because when his father sent him up, he was too young to even go to the army, but his father sent him up to bring supplies to his brothers and to find out how they're doing. So his father tells him that you should go up and bring them this food and so on. So bring them these 10 big cheeses, bring it to the Sara Elef over there, find out how they're doing, and take their aruvatam. So what exactly is taking their aruvatam? Tani Rav Yossi Dvorim Amu Uravim Ben Olavena. Take away that which makes them connected to their wives, which means get a hold of a get. Because if there was an emergency call-up and people didn't have time to give that get, so his father instructed the child, David, to make sure that he would see to it that his brothers gave a get to their wives before going out to fight the plishtim. So then that means that David was taught by Yishai that he needs to do this. And so when he became melech, he instituted this as part of the normal ways of war, that before anybody goes out, they need to make certain, the captain makes certain, that they've taken care of the get. And so because of that, that's the aruvatam. Then when the pasuk says, Oto arakta b'cherev b'nei Amon, obviously you're not going to get punished because of the cherev b'nei Amon. So ma cherev b'nei Amon iata nena shalav. The fact that the B'nai Amon go around killing people is not what you did. You're trying to get rid of them. That proves that the context is Af Uriah Achiti Yatanen HaShalav. You certainly are not responsible for the death of Uriah Achiti because it was correct that he was killed. My taima, Morid B'malchut Aveh. The man was outrageously a Morid B'malchus because David HaMelech insists that he goes home and takes a break from the war. And he says to David, Adoni Yoav, Va'avdei Adoni, Apnei Asader Chonim. There, how can you tell me to do such a thing? Haron ve'Yisrael ve'Yehuda Yoshvim Basukot. Adoni Yoav, Va'avdei Adoni, Apnei Asader Chonim. And I'm supposed to go home, Le'chov ve'lishtot ve'lishkav imishti? Never. Chayecha ve'chei nafshecha ime eset ha'davar hazeh. This entire pasuk reeks of absolute merida. First of all, it's making fun of David's das. Secondly, it's calling Yoav the master, as opposed to, how do you say to David HaMelech, my master Yoav? He's not your master, man. I'm your master. And then you absolutely refuse. I swear I'm not going to do what you tell me. Every last bit of the pasuk, I mean, he should have been shot on the spot, right? Okay, so David didn't shoot him on the spot, which was the halacha in terms of the din of merida b'malchus. And instead, he sent him back and said, make sure that this guy's in a place where he's going to get shot by Cherev B'nai Amon. So obviously, you're not going to be nenash for that. The only problem is that it should have been done in court in order to, since your plan was la'asot, your plan was to take his wife, his ex-wife, then it's going to look bad. So it should have been done in Beis Din. That's all. Omar Rav, ki me'ayanta be'be David, if you look at David's life in toto, Lo mashkachat be, you find him doing nothing wrong his whole life. That is serious, Tosu says. Doesn't mean there weren't these little things that he did. But there was nothing that he did except for this way in which he handled Uriah Achiti. Because the pasuk says, Beferish, Asher asah David et hayashar b'enei Hashem velo sar mikol asher tzivo kol yemei chayav. Amazing edus of the pasuk. Rak bidvar Uriah Achiti. The only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with him about was the story of Uriah Achiti. Abaya Kishisha Rami Darav Adarav. So he asked, Rav contradicts himself. Here Rav says he never did anything wrong. And we find that Rav himself says he did something terribly wrong. And what he did was he was Makabal Lashon Hara. And the Kabbalah of Lashon Hara, the Gemara learns out in Sanhedrin, is much worse than sleeping even with the Zeishas Ish that everybody was saying. Because that was the whole story that they used to, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that David HaMelech tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever they're doing, they always manage to make a point of how no good I am, right? So they're learning a sugya in Sanhedrin. So they'll ask me, so David, tell us, you know, what's the din of someone who sleeps with an Zeishas Ish? You know, and I tell them, sleeping with an Zeishas Ish is fine. The Beis Din kills you, you have a chelek in Olam Haba, no big deal. But somebody like you, who did what you just did, has no chelek in Olam Haba. Okay, so anyway, from there the Gemara learns out that it's better to sleep with a suffocatious ish like this than to speak Lashon Hara. And David HaMelech ends up being Mekabel Lashon Hara. How could he possibly be Mekabel Lashon Hara? This is what Rav himself says. If he was Mekabel Lashon Hara, so then how could Rav say he never did anything wrong? Where do we see that David was Mekabel Lashon Hara? Gufa. So Kasha, that's really a problem. So Gufa. Where do we see it? Rav Amar Kibel David Lashon Hara. Because take a look at the story of the relationship of David and Yonatan, in which David had promised that he's going to be taking care of Yonatan's family if Yonatan dies. So early on, before all the tzaras started up with David, he went to find any survivors from Yonatan's family. And he finds this tziva, who is an eved that Yonatan had and had left to his child. So he calls in tziva, and he asks tziva, where is the son of Yonatan? Eifohu. So vayomer tziva, so tziva says to him, Hinehu Beit Machir ben Amiel below Davar. He lives in this place. Now, the parshas of the pasuk is below Davar. He lives in a town called Lo Davar, which doesn't really make sense. It's a very strange name for a town. The town of nothing. Okay. So, anyway, so the Lo Davar, we darshan, means he's useless. He's worthless. Lo Davar is, you don't want this guy. He doesn't even know a simple din. He's nothing like his father. In the end, Vayishlach HaMelech David Vayikacheu MiBeit Machir Ben Amiel, Milo Davar, he finds him full with everything. The guy's a genius. He knows Kol HaTorah Kula. It's the remez. So now the question is, so David HaMelech now knows that Tziva is a phony, and is trying as best as he can to make sure that David does not have a relationship with Mephibosheth, who is the son of Yonatan. So he knows that he's a liar. So Michde, Chazi de Shikrahu, he knows he's a liar. So then afterwards, after the whole Maisa of Avshalom, when David HaMelech was coming back to Yerushalayim, and Tziva comes without Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth was lame. So the king asks Tziva, so where is Mephibosheth? And Tziva says, oh, he's in mourning. He's been planning his big comeback because he figured now that they got rid of you, and people will say, you know what? We should have stuck with Shaul and Shaul's family. Let's make Mephibosheth king. So he's been hoping that you're going to get killed. So what? He's going to come back to see you. Come on. Anyway, so this is what Tziva tells him. So Tziva says to the Melech, Hineyu Yoshev Yerushalayim. No, he's been sitting over there. Ki Amar Hayom Yashivu Li Beit Yisrael Et Mamlechut Avi. Today is going to be the big day. I'm going to be selected now that Avshalom was killed. And everybody says, forget about that old David's family. All they do is get into fights. They're all crazy. Let's go back to Shaul when things were nice. That's what he's been saying. That's why he's not here. So how do we know that David HaMelech was Mekabel? Because it says, Vayomer HaMelech L'tziva, okay, if that's the case, everything that Mephibosheth owns goes to you. Hinei lecha kol asher l'Mephibosheth. Vayomer tziva, ishtachaviti, oh, I bow to the king, emtzachin beinecha, Adoni HaMelech. This phony is so happy. So what happens afterwards? Then it says the Gemara, from what happens afterwards, it seems that we have an answer to Rav, because Shmuel says, I don't accept what Rav said. He didn't Mekabel Lashon Hara. When we take a look at the story afterwards, you can see that Dvarim Adikarim Chazabe, he saw that Mephibosheth actually did not want him back, and he picked this up. How did he pick it up? Because it says, Mephibosheth ben Shaul Yarad Likrat HaMelech. There was Mephibosheth, and he comes down when David HaMelech is entering Yerushalayim, and he gets back to greet him. And he looked a mess. Lo asa raglav, lo asa sfamo, et bagadav lo kibes. The guy had not shaved. He hadn't cleaned his legs. He didn't clean his suit. Limina yom lechet ha-melech ad yom asher baba shalom. From the day that David had run away from Avshalom until that day. So he looks horrible. And then it says that vayiki va Yerushalayim likrat ha-melech. So the melech says to him, lama lo alachte mi Mephibosheth? Why didn't you come with me when I was running away? Vayomer, so he says, Adoni HaMelech, that lousy tziva, my eved, avdi rimuni. He really screwed me over. Because I told him, I want to go with David. So let's get the chamor saddled up, and I'll go riding on it, veilech. You know that Piseach Avdecha, you know that I am lame. I can't do any of this stuff myself. And instead, he leaves me behind, and he goes and tells you these horrible things about me. And what can I do? And then he goes and he meets you, Adonai HaMelech. You know what? Adonai HaMelech ki malach Elohim, aseh atov beinecha. I'm not going to argue about this. Whatever, you're like a malach. Whatever you say is fine with me. So the melech says to him, okay, stop all the gabbing. Lama tedaber od dvorecha. Amarti, ata v'tziva techalku et asadeh. You split everything with tziva. Vayomer mifiboshet ala melech, so the mifiboshet says to him, let him have the whole damn thing. Gam et hakol yikach. The only thing that matters to me is acharei asher ba Adonai HaMelech b'shalom el beito. So what is the tone? You have to catch the tone of that comment. Let him take the whole thing. The tone of that comment is he's mad. Because if in fact it was wrong what David said, then he needed to continue to say to David, no, there's no reason why he should get anything. He's a meragel. He did everything against me, and the king has to look into it. He says, fine, take the whole thing. Take the whole thing. So what he was really saying was, since you made it back, the only thing that gets me angry is the fact, you know, I've been saying all along, oh, I can't wait till he comes back. This is the way you treat me when you come back? I don't have any kindness against you. You're nobody. It's against God that I have kindness. Who brought you back here? This is the way you treat people? And that's why we find that Yonatan's name, Mephibosheth's name, Yonatan's son's name, gets changed into a different name, which is really weird in Divrei Hayomim. Yonatan has this son, and he is identified in Divrei Hayomim not as Mephibosheth, but as Meriv Baal. Now, why Meriv Baal? Hello, Mephibosheth Shemo. But because he made an argument with his Baalim, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Dovid HaMelech. Look at how he speaks. And because of that, Yatzta Batkov Amrolo, Natsa Bar, Natsa, you're a Nazi, just like your dad was a Nazi, meaning your grandfather was a Nazi. But I told him to go and to wipe out Amalek, and what does he say? Vayova Shaul Adir Amalek, Vayorev Banachal, he's same Lashon, Meriva. So he's got arguments, moral arguments against me, and he makes a Kal V'chomer, if we kill, if because one person is mugged, we're going to bring this Eglah Benachal, you're telling me I should go out and kill all of these people, these wonderful Germans. Look how nice they are. Look how civilized they are. And after all, these children, these wonderful German children, the Hitler Youth, I mean, the youth for building the world. I mean, how could we kill those people? And that's how he responds to me. And you're the same way. Fine. So that's how Iske Nachal. Okay, so that according to Shmuel, David had very good grounds for actually believing tziva. Omrev Yudah Merav, doesn't matter. Point is, and this is Rav, because Rav didn't accept this. Point is that everything that went wrong with Klal Yisrael and the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash is because of this one insane minor infraction. That David HaMelech listened to tziva. Because take a look at what happened because of this. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, B'sha'a she'amar David ha-mefiboshet, Ata v'tziva techalku et ha-sadeh, Yatzta batko v'amra lo rechavam v'yiravam yechalku et ha-melucha. Fine, you want to take the easy way out. You want to believe this guy. Split it. Can't lose. Okay, David. Split it. Exactly. There's a problem with Malchus Beis David. And people don't want to follow Malchus Beis David because of Rechavam? Split it. Let Yeravam ben Nevat take half of Klal Yisrael, and you take the other half. You like it? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ilmalei lo kibel Lashon Hara. If it wouldn't have been for this, if only Lashon Hara had not been Mekubal, so then Malchus Beis David would never have been split. If Malchus Beis David was never split, then there never would have been the Yeravam that made the Agalot in order to avoid people coming to Yerushalayim and going back to Malchus Beis David, because there wouldn't have been that split. In which case, there would never have been the destruction of the Egel in Yisrael. We would never have gone into Golos, and we still would have had a Beis HaMikdash. Lo avdu Yisrael avadazara, velo gilinu miartzenu. So basically, once again, going back to the shoresh of Dvarim, of where things start, with the smallest issues, it's always the smallest issues that end up destroying. All of the big things have their roots, as Lao Tzu said. All the big things always begin with small things. And that's exactly the issue that happened over here. And the same thing is true of the issues that take place with Shlomo HaMelech. And that's the next segment. The same thing is true of Kolomer Shlomo Chata. Because it's the same diak in the Pasuk. It says, Vayihila Eitzik, not Shlomo. Nashav Yitu et Livavo Acharei Elohim Acherim. Listen to this. So his wives got him. I mean, if you read the Pasuk like a goy reads the Pasuk. So his wives made him do Avodah Zarah. And they were mate his slave to go and to do Avodah Zarah. V'lo haya levavo shalem im Hashem Elokav kelevav David Aviv. That's a joke. Here we're talking about David Aviv that was Hailech Achar Hashem for his entire life, never did anything that was different, and only the issue of Uriah Chiti, and he was a tzaddik gomor koyomov, and David Melech Yisrael chai v'kayom, but his son is Ovid Avodah Zarah. He wasn't exactly like his father entirely. What does that mean? So obviously, again, the Pasuk is telling me that he wasn't Kilavav David Aviv, so he fell short of his father's achievement. But obviously, he had not worshipped Avodah Zarah, so then it couldn't have been that. So Michtanami Lochata. So when it says Va'ila Eitzik Nach Shlomona Shav Hitu Et Levavo, what does that mean? It must mean what Rabbi Nassen said. The Rabbi Nassen Rami Steve Va'ila Eitzik Nach Shlomona Shav Hitu Et Levavo. Doesn't it say Kilavav David Aviv in the same pasuk? Kilavav David Aviv Udalo Aviv, but Michtanami Lochata. So then it must mean that Archikom Avila Isignat Shlomona Shavitu et Lavavola Lechet Achre Elohim Achrim Volo Alach. That Shlomo, who thought that he was beyond the problem of having wives that would in any way sway him or attempt to sway him, he did, well, what a joke. So that's why he said, Aniar Bevaloyatu. What kind of, you think a woman's going to come to me and start talking to me about Avodah Zarah? What, are you insane? That's exactly what happened. They did. Obviously, he didn't follow them, but they did. And they talked to him about it. That's the point. I don't understand, but it says beferish in the Pasuk, Oziv ne Shlomo bama lichmo shikutz Moav ba'ara shal pnei Yerushalayim ulamelech lamolech, who was the sheketz b'nei Amon. It lists the Avodah Zarahs that Shlomo HaMelech made for his wives over there. So it says he built it. Oziv ne. No, it doesn't say he built it. It doesn't say azbana. It says Oziv ne. Which means that his wives brought all of the architects in and the plans and so on. He's supposed to build it, but he never built it. Oh, come on. So when it says, Az Yivne Yoshua Mizbeach Lashem, he never built it. He just thought about building it, talked to the architects, but he never built it. That's crazy. Of course it doesn't mean that. So it must mean that he actually did build it. Al Debana. So Achidami Debanami. That's it. You can't read that into the Pasuk. Ela Kidatanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Listen at this. The Braita that Rabbi Yossi points out. Because here it says like this, Et habamot asher pnei Yerushalayim asher miyimin lahar hamashchit asher bana Shlomo melech Yisrael ashterot. This is years later in Yoshio's time. That it says that what he went ahead and he tore down the things that Shlomo HaMelech had built for ashterot, the Shikutz, the Shiketz Sidonim, and Kmosh, which is the Shiketz Moab, and Malkum, the Toivat b'nei Amon, all of those things Yoshio got rid of. Okay, so now I ask you, says Rabbi Yossi, there had been so many tshuva movements in Yisrael where there were malachim that went around to destroy the Nevi'i HaBaal and the Baal and everything that was Avodah Zarah. You're telling me that centuries before this, Asa had come along, he didn't get rid of those mizbechot. No, he only did the other things. Yoshafat came along, he never looked at that, right? Until good old Yoshio gets around, and he's a kid, but he knows, and he's going to get rid of everything. He was the one who'd be around. Halo kol avodah zarah she'eretz Yisrael asav Yoshafat bi'arum. Therefore, the point over here of the Pasuk is that it is carefully telling you that they are actually a hekesh over here, the Rishonim la'achronim. When the Torah says here that Yoshio was Meva'er, it doesn't mean he was Meva'er. These were long gone. Anything that had been there from the time of Asen Yoshafa was long gone. So what it means is that Yoshio was joined to the list of those who had been in the forefront of the destruction of Avodah Zarah, and he was part of the destruction of every Avodah Zarah, and in completing the job and those things that had been from the time of Yehoshaphat, where there still were new Avodah Zarahs from the time of Yehoshaphat, he completed the job. So because of that, we say that he did the whole thing. But did he do the whole thing? No. But he was part of doing the whole thing. So because of that, the Torah considers him to be as if he did it. That's the point. The whole pasuk is as if. So just like the Achronim, meaning Yoshio, he didn't do anything. Nonetheless, we're being tolate in him as if he did. Tolabam l'shevach. The same thing is true that the first ones that we mentioned, namely what Shlomo HaMelech had built, doesn't mean he built it himself, except that in order to make him look bad, we're blaming him. What do you mean, blaming him? It says, Vayash Shlomo Rabbi Ne'ashem. Exactly. That's what this whole sugya is about. He should have gotten rid of those wives that have been moche in their activities, and he allowed them to carry on with their nonsense, and he never should have done that. Because that's the point. And by the way, I want you to know that the Ramban says that we learn out from the din of a Yefas Tohar that any time that we have this type of situation where somebody is brought into Klal Yisrael against their will, these were political marriages. So he's taking in women from cultures of Avodah Zarah. The Ramban says that this means that the chiyuv, the fact that you wait for 30 days, it has to be boch, as aviyah, as imah, and the Gemara says beferish, she could take her idols with her, and you have to allow her to gradually break away from her religious nonsense. This is a chiyuv on all cases where somebody is in psychological distress and having been put into a matzav of being in Yisrael without yet understanding what they're involved in, you must have patience for their religious nonsense instead of simply going out and busting them up. And this, so that means that Shlomo HaMelech had a very strong basis for the way that he was behaving. I'm taking 1,000 women in from all of these different cultures. I'm trying to create a political interrelationship over here. I have to treat them gently. So I'm going to sit here and be moching them, start beating them up because they do this nonsense. So that's the point, that nonetheless, he should have been, at certain points, he was not sensitive to when he could have been moche. He should have been moche, and he wasn't moche. And because of that, this horrible thing is written about him, as if he himself went against the Ratzon Hashem. Amar Rav Yonah Amar Shmuel, let me tell you something. Shlomo HaMelech would have been willing to give up his malchus and to become a janitor in a church in order that it shouldn't say these words, Vayazah Rabbi Ne'ashem. There's nothing worse that you could have done to Shlomo than summing up his life and saying Vayazah Rabbi Ne'ashem. It's horrific, says Rashi, to teach you what not being moche means, that this is a completely different way of looking at reality. Omer, if you don't know Shmuel, you want to look back at the little things, right? Little things that don't make any difference. Well, let me tell you something. That day that Shlomo went ahead and married Bat Paro, believe me, when Cleopatra comes to town, it's with a lot of to-do, right? So she comes in with this procession of an orchestra with 1,000 different instruments, Elef Minei Zemer, and they performed Bach's Misa No. 4, and they performed Ibn Gubi's actual cantos, No. 16, and whatever. Every one of them was to be done in a church to some different god, right? So she gives them the whole performance. Kachosim lavadizara plonis, v'kachosim lavadizara plonis. Yeah, and he's sitting there in the audience. Okay, fine. Are we finished? Lo michal, I didn't say anything to her, okay? And let me tell you what came of that. Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, at that moment, b'sha'ash nasa Shlomo bat paro, Gavriel HaMalach came down to the earth, and he took one pole made out of a reed, and he put it exactly into a spot where it would silt up along the Italian coast. And it silted up for thousands of years. It silted up. And it gradually built up a bank. And that was the bank that became part of the metropolitan Rome that ended up destroying the second Beit HaMikdash. You understand? So that means the roots of the Churban that we live in were created by an orchestra on the, I mean, that's insane. That's the roots. And in a Braita it says, and on the day, forget about Shlomo, on the day that Yeravam brought the Egle Azav and put one in Beit El and one in Dan, that was when a shepherd boy built the first little hut on that sandbank, which gradually became a city, which grew into a metropolis, which destroyed Klal Yisrael. And that is the Italia Shel Yavan that ultimately the Greeks had and then was taken over by the Germans. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Kol HaOmer Yoshio Chata Einu Ela Toeh. Here we're talking about Yoshio HaMelech. Yoshio HaMelech, that he was the one that took out all of these Avodah Zarahs, and then all of a sudden, it says about him that he had to do teshuva. I mean, it's obvious that he didn't do anything wrong. It says, Vayas HaYashar B'nei Hashem, Vayelech B'chol Derech David Aviv. So then how do you explain, says Rabbi Yonatan, why does it say, Chumo Allo Ayu Lefanam Melech HaShashav LaHashem B'chol Libo V'chol Nafsho V'chol Melodo? So what did he do so terrible that he had to give his life, his nefesh, all of his money, he had to give to do teshuva? What did he do? He must have done something terrible. Oh, yeah, he did do something terrible in his eyes. He was 8 years old when he became king. And from the age of eight till the 18th year, the Pashas, Mr. Machlokas was showing much, I'll explain in a moment. But from the age of eight until 18 years of his Malchus, he went ahead and had been done. And that was the year in the 18th year of Yoshio that they discovered the Sefer Torah in the Heichal that was open to the Tochacha. And because of that, he realized that he hadn't been Isaac and Torah enough. And he went back and he reviewed every single din that he ever had from the age of eight till that year. And he repaid all of the money of the dinim because he felt that he was not really ro'i to be done properly. And you might think that that means that he took the money back where he felt he made a mistake and he gave it to the other one. No. Shema tomar nato mizeh v'natan mizeh. He paid it out of his own pocket. That's the point. So all of those millions of dollars that were involved in those cases, he paid them back. Mibikol me'odo. Shenatan la mishalo. That's the point. Now, the other way of understanding this is fascinating. The other way of understanding this is that it's nogea, actually, halacha lamaisa, which is really, really sweet, which is that this is mamash, the 8 to 18 is understood that it means from the time he was 8 years old until the time that he was 18 years old. So because of that, the Shulchan Aruch paskens on the basis of this Gemara, that you should not be a shofet until you're at least 18 years old. That's the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Arayaniki ben Shimim Shanas. He was 18, so he was already able to be done. And that's a din derabbanan. So since there's all the truth is, even a child can be a dayan if he's able to be, midiraisa. But midirabbanan, he shouldn't have been. So because of that, all of the money from 8 to 18 when he was midirabbanan, not allowed to be a shofet, even though he had done correctly, he didn't accept the din that he made and he gave it all back. That's how the Shulchan Aruch learns and Paskins that way, based on this Gemara, which is a completely different approach than Rashi's approach over here. But anyway, according to this, Yoshio had never done anything that he needed to do teshuvah. So pliga de Rav, the Amar Rav, ein lecha gadol bebali teshuvah, yoter mi Yoshio bedoro. In all of history, there was no one who was such an incredible bal teshuvah like Yoshio, and one guy in our generation. One guy in your generation? Who's that? Abba avuah de Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. That's Abba, the father of Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. Some say it's Acha, the brother of the Abba, who's Avuah the Abba Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he is an amazing Baal Teshuva. Omer of Yosef, and in our door, there's another one who's absolutely insane. And who is that? Ukvan Bar Nechemia, who's the Reish Galusa. And his Madregan Tshuva was so amazing that they used to call him Natan de Tzutzita, the one who is sparks shoot out of him. As he walks down the street, there's Medrash that as he walked down the street, everybody would see a fire or light coming from his head. Omer of Yosef, I once fell asleep in the middle of a shir, and I see in this sort of waking dream that a malach comes down and stretches out his hand and takes this teshuva from this Nosan Tzitzita. And that's when he started shining. So he was shining from the contact with the malach. The Gemara doesn't tell us what any of these stories are, what it is they did teshuva on, that they should be compared to Yoshua HaMelechem. There's a Rashi in Sanhedrin that brings the story of Nosan Tzitzita, that this was Mar Ukva, that he was Mar Ukvan, he was the god of Hador, and he got turned on by this girl, and he started going nuts for her, and he literally became dysfunctional until the point that he got so sick that he actually was hospitalized. And this girl ended up needing money, and it might have happened that she had to come to him for money, which was, oh my God. So he says, here she is, and she's being presented to him, min ha-shamayim, and he's dying for this girl. And so he makes a deal with her that he'll lend her all the money she wants. He'll give her all the money she wants. All she needs is to become his lover. And at the end, he doesn't take her, and he makes himself crazy not to take her. And from that point on, that's when the Malach accepted his tshuva. Okay, it doesn't sound like such a historical thing, but Rabbi Yosef held that it was Begeder Yosef HaTzadik, and that he became called Nosan Tzitzita on that basis. As far as the first mice is concerned, I don't have any data about Rababa or Rabach. I don't know any Midrashim to talk about him or anything. Okay, anyway, but this certainly does give one a sense of what we're talking about on the Madrega of how little things turn into big things, and how in order to understand your local judgment, you need to go all the way back to the Mekeres, which takes you back to the interrelationship with Gan Eden itself. I'll get to Moshe in a minute.